out there could get me a glass of water. Oh, Tom's on the ball. Okay. Thank you, Brother Tom. I'm getting dry. Amen. All right, in our introduction, moving right into it here, in the book of Jude, God has taken the time to show how apostasy can take on many forms and end up in many realms. Okay? Apostasy can take on many forms and end up in many realms. And we have several realms here. We see, from verses 5 through 7, we see historically, we see apostasy. You remember, we had unbelieving Israel, and we had the angels that sinned, and then, of course, we had Sodom and Gomorrah. So, historically, in the realm of history, not only that, but we see supernaturally, this realm. Thank you, Brother Tom. In verses 6 and 9, we remember the angels that sinned, but then also the devil and Michael the archangel were contending about the body of Moses. In our lesson 2 weeks ago, we see that individually apostasy in the realm, individual realm, individually. What are those three individuals? They were Cain, Balaam, and Korah. Okay, apostasy not only historically, supernaturally, individually. Tonight we'll be looking at naturally. In the natural world, God shows apostasy. Okay, naturally. In verses 14 and 15, we see prophetically, okay, prophecy. We see apostasy in prophecy, okay, upon all that are ungodly. And then if you look at these verses along with me on the last line there, look at verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were of old before ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Then if you look at verse 8, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. Verse 10, but these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally is brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. Verse number 16, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts. Their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's person in admiration because of advantage. And then verses 18 and 19, that there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. You say, Pastor, what's the last realm or group? Well, it's currently. Currently, there are apostates currently in the world. Amen. They're in a lot of churches. Can I say this? They're in a lot of independent Baptist churches. Amen. How do you know that? Because Paul told us and Jude told us to beware of them. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. They look like us. They smell like us. They talk like us, but they're not of us. So they're historically, supernaturally, individually, naturally, prophetically, currently. In this study, we will focus on the five illustrations of apostasy in the natural realm. Five illustrations of apostasy in the natural realm. Okay? If you have your place there in Jude, hold your place. Point number one, the selfishness of apostates. Go, if you would, over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, a very, very familiar portion of Scripture. We read verses 23 through the end at the Lord's table. Amen. Here Paul giving us the command of the Lord's table, the second ordinance of the church after baptism. And we see here the selfishness of apostates. As you're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, let me read what it says in Jude 12. It says, these are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. It's one of those verses that you need to do a little bit of study on. You say, well, what's a feast of charity and what's this feeding themselves without fear? Well, here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 20, you see this feast in conjunction with the Lord's Supper here. It says, when ye come together therefore into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in eating everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry and another is drunken. Okay, and if you go down into 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, down in verse number 29, for he that drinketh, eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Okay, looking at your outline, if you would, the illustration is spots in your feasts of charity. The illustration that God uses here, the natural illustration, is spots in your feasts of charity. Feasts of charity were a unique feature of the early church. They are long gone. Okay, they do not do them anymore. Did quite a bit of research on this. In Unger's Bible Dictionary, I believe, had the best little blurb for our bulletin tonight. A simple meal of brotherly love. Let's talk about what is a feast of charity. A simple meal of brotherly love celebrated daily in apostolic times in connection with the Lord's Supper. At this meal, the Christians, in connection with their common Redeemer, ignored all distinctions of rank, wealth, and culture, and met as members of one family. But what happened here, if you look at your outline, there were some apostates that began to attend these feasts, disregarding the needs of others. Okay? Going first, feeding only themselves, and even coming to the feast drunk. Okay? By the way, this idea, this feast of charity, was many times the wealthier believers would help to put on this feast, and they would allow those that did not have the means to go ahead of them. It was just a showing that, hey, we're all one in Christ. And by the way, if God's blessed you with money, praise God. Praise God. If God chose not to bless you with money, praise God. You know what we are? The ground is level at the cross. Amen? Praise the Lord for that. But apostates on your outline, we can see here through this illustration, are tremendously deceptive. They are deceptive. The Greek word here is the word spilos. And it's the only time it is used in your King James Bible. It carries the meaning of a rock in the sea, or a ledge, or much like we would know what is as a reef. Some of you have heard of the Battle of the Island of Tarawa, or Baitio Island. The Marines, it was one of the most horrific battles for the Marines. And there was a reason why it was horrific. The surveys that they used when they went to that island with the Marine Corps and they had the Higgins boats to come and drop them off were 100 years old. In the 1800s, they had done surveys. And they didn't realize that at the time they were going, it was low tide and there was a reef around the island. And so those Higgins boats came plowing in and they hit the reef 400 yards from the shore. And you know what those Marines had to do? 400 yards with Japanese shooting at them. 400 yards. You say, that's unbelievable. That wrecked their plan. Hey, listen, on our outline, apostates defile the feast of charity with their selfishness just as surely as an unseen reef will destroy a ship. Apostates, they're selfish. Hey, God help us. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we have flesh on us. And you know what? I'm going to tell you this, and if you don't want to say amen, that's fine, but this preacher can be selfish because he's got flesh. Amen. Some visitors from heaven tonight. Maybe you're not selfish, but I know I can be selfish. Amen. It's a characteristic of apostasy, but it can creep into our lives. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, let us never forget our Savior wasn't selfish. Amen. Let us be reminded of His example for us when we consider the selfishness of apostates. Not only the selfishness, but number two, the helplessness of apostates. Go back, if you would, to Jude, book of Jude. The helplessness of apostates. And look, if you would, at the illustration that God gives to us there in the book of Jude. It says in the middle, there are clouds without water, carried about of winds. The helplessness of apostates. Think of being in a dry desert land and seeing a cloud. I'm telling you what, you would you'd do the Indian rain dance. Okay? And remember after Elijah, he said he prayed and it didn't rain. And he said to his servant, he said, go look and tell me what you see. Remember what his servant said? He said, I see a little cloud. And what happened? The showers of heaven came. But this is a different situation, folks. This is like what we might classify as a heat cloud. You ever seen heat lightning before? There's no water there. It's just a cloud without water. Proverbs 25:14 puts it this way. Whoso boasteth himself as a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. See, apostates, they're not only selfishness, but there's helplessness. The illustration on your outline is a cloud without water. Clouds without water are deceiving. And number one there on your outline. Clouds without water are deceiving. You look and you think it's a cloud. It's going to bring refreshing rain. But it doesn't bring anything. That's what an apostate has. Helpless. It's not only deceiving, it's discouraging. Amen? Just imagine you're a farmer. And that harvest is drying. And you need rain. And you see that cloud. And you're so encouraged to see that cloud. And all of a sudden the wind just pushes it by and there's nothing in it. It's discouraging. That's what apostates do. I cannot imagine, Brother Blonky, how a man could sit under an apostate week after week, year after year, and just listen to the garbage that they spew out. It's discouraging. They don't believe this book is the Word of God any more than they believe in Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny. Apostates. They're helpless. It's deceiving. It's discouraging. Number three, it's darkening. Wouldn't it darken your spirits? I know it would mine. And number four there, it's disappointing. A cloud without water is disappointing, for there's no fulfillment, no refreshment. Apostates on your outline literally have nothing to offer. Nothing. Go to an apostate with a problem. Brother Samuels, they're not going to break open the Bible and tell you what God says. They're going to say, beats me, go see the psychologist. Go see the psychiatrist, Brother Boston. They have nothing to offer. They're helpless. Helpless. They cannot offer any real help because they refuse. This should be the authority of God and His Word. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you come to me for counsel, I promise you the only help I can give you is right here. It's not in my wonderful life or experiences or anything, because in me and my flesh dwells no good thing. If there's anything help I can give you, it's from the Word of God. Apostates can't do that. There's nothing there. They don't believe it. They don't believe in prayer. They don't believe that this book is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. They don't believe it. So they're helpless. Not only the selfishness of apostates, not only the helplessness of apostates, but number three, the fruitlessness of apostates. Verse 12 again. Trees whose fruit withereth. And then God clarifies it three times. Without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Pretty clear, amen? That this is not a fruit-bearing tree. The illustration on your outline is trees whose fruit withereth. This carries the theme of autumn when fruit should be there. That's harvest time, amen? At early autumn time. When, praise God, the corn's looking good, the apples are looking good, that tree ought to be bearing fruit. The illustration is amplified by the words, number one, without fruit. And of course, we have the reference there, John 15. Okay? Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain. Not only are they without fruit, but they're twice dead. This is the opposite of Psalm 3. Psalm chapter 1, verse 3, rather. Some of you know that. I'm going there. Amen. Psalm 1, 3. I knew it when I was studying this. I said I should have put that verse right in there. Amen. It's going to be hard to find from Jude. Psalm chapter 1, verse 3. And it says there, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. It's planted. We're going to talk about that on Sunday. One of the grounds is the stony ground. And the sun comes out and it scorches. And the sun is representative of trials in the Christian life and difficulties. And it scorches it and it's got nothing there because it has no root. The key to a tree, ladies and gentlemen, is its roots. Its roots. But here, the apostates, they're twice dead. Plucked up by the roots. Plucked up by the roots. And here is a great quote. I wish it was mine. It's not. Apostates are fruitless because they are rootless. No root, no fruit. Max Coder says it this way. Apostates are dead to the fruit of profession and dead to the root of possession. You know, to bear fruit, you've got to abide in Christ. According to John 15. Amen. If you abide in me and my words in you, ye shall bear much fruit, the Bible says. Apostates are not that way. They don't abide in Christ. Selfishness of apostates. Helplessness of apostates. Fruitlessness of apostates. Number four, the shamefulness of apostates. The shamefulness of apostates. Verse number 13 of Jude. It says, raging waves of the sea foaming out their own shame. The illustration is raging waves of the sea. God compares the ungodly to the sea in Isaiah chapter 57, verses 20 and 21. Let's go over there. Isaiah chapter 57, verses 20 and 21. Tremendous, tremendous verses. Isaiah chapter 57. Verses 20 and 21. Give you a moment to get there. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. One of the things I miss about New England is being 2 hours from the ocean. No matter where we were 2 hours from the ocean. Could go to the ocean. But a bad time to be at the ocean, Brother Heath, is at low tide. Because everything has just come up. And you will see things that you're just like, what on earth is that? It's literally the ocean and the waves just spewing things out. And on your outline, just as the sea belches up all its garbage and waste onto the shore, so apostates in their pride have no shame. They have no shame. They have no shame about mocking this book, making fun of the miracles, laughing at preachers like your preacher, saying they tell the gory story over there at Loomis Park. Well, you bet your bottom dollar we tell the gory story. We tell the story of a bloody cross and a beaten Savior, amen, because that's what the Bible says. No redemption without blood. But they're shameless. Number five on the back. See the hopelessness of apostates. The hopelessness of apostates. Back in Jude, it says that they're wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Back in 2 Peter, chapter number 2, verse 17, similar verse, as Brother Hamlin would say, a sister verse It says in verse 17 that these are wells without water, getting back to the clouds without water there. Clouds that are carried with a tempest to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. So the illustration there is wandering stars. The planet, sun, moon, and constellations are fixed and constant. The planet, sun, moon, and constellations are fixed and constant. And by the way, when we had the group here from the Academy of Arts, one of the greatest evidences of a creator is how everything works. How those planets orbit around the sun, and they're going this direction, and the Earth's going in this direction, and just enough distance from the moon where we don't burn up or freeze to death. Amen. Amazing. Happened by chance? I think not. By a creator, and all God's people said. But they're constant on your outline. These are many times used by travelers to guide them. You know, before there was GPS and before there was Doppler radar, there were the stars. What time is it? Well, where's the sun? Looks like it's about noon. Amen? They're constant. They're used as guideposts. However, this illustration is comparing the apostates to the meteors or comets that aimlessly head to nowhere. And just as the end of a fallen star is the blackness of space, that star that just heads off into nowhere, Brother Horsch, the hopeless end of the apostate is the lake of fire. This dark state of hopelessness is spoken of in Jude, and we give you the three references there. Verse 6, everlasting chains under darkness, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Verse 7. Verse 13, reserve the blackness of darkness forever. Apostates are hopeless. The only hope, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, the only hope we have, and I get thinking about these as I do these lessons, Brother Harmon, it's fearful to look at these lessons. And I'm glad, again, I've said it over and over, I'm glad I was in the room when I got saved. I'm glad I was there. I'm glad I remember it. To know that I could never apostatize. But it's a fearful thing when you look at these. And the only difference between us and the apostates is we receive the amazing grace of God. We received it as that engrafted word, James 1:21, says it's able to save our souls. Oh, praise God for His amazing grace. Let us never, never think we're something when we know we're nothing. But by the grace of God. Let's sing that tonight. 187, Vivian. Amazing grace. Amen. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You know, I could have been an apostate if it wasn't for the amazing grace of God. So could you. Let's stand. Page 187. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Amen. If you're